Proverbs chapter 25 and read the first three verses. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. The heaven for height, and the earth for depth, and the heart of kings is unsearchable. There was a 2nd century Greek writer who taught in Athens, and he was a teacher of rhetoric and a man of words, that he was a writer, and he's known still today for writing a 10-volume Greek dictionary. And I looked, and you can still buy that dictionary on Amazon. So 1,800 years later, you can still buy his works. And he's known and used quite often for writing that dictionary. And one of those words that he wrote was a word for a children's game. He gave a definition of it. And it's the same game we call hide and seek. That's the first recorded instance of hide and seek. And I would say that it wouldn't be surprising to me that children have always played it. And I started looking into more of it, and it's been called different names at different times and different cultures, but it's just all down through recorded history, kids playing hide and seek, and it's pretty much the same rules that we know today. There's little variances, but children hide, and then somebody goes and finds them. It's a game a universal game that kids love to play. And as we get older, we might quit playing hide and seek, but I don't think we quit searching and quit looking and quit investigating. And I think that's probably why kids like to play it, is because they like to find and they seek and investigate and have look for something. And the thrill of looking for it and the thrill of finding it. It's good to do so. It's good to investigate. And really, my message tonight is the hide and seek that we find in verses 2 and 3. Because we find God hiding and we find man seeking now. It's good to be curious about things. It's good to search out and learn about new things. In fact, that's what it says. The honor of kings is to search out a matter. So not only is it good for us, but it's a good thing to do. It's a good activity for the mind and for the heart to seek, if you're seeking for the right thing. It's an honor for a man to seek out and to learn new things and to get to the bottom of something that might puzzle you, might question you, or get to the bottom of some spiritual question you might be rolling around in your mind. It's a blessing. It's an honor for a man to be curious. But that's something that God can't do. God is not able to search out new things. And that's really the heart of this text. What it's an honor for men to do, and what's noble for men to do, it's an impossibility for God to do. So we're going to see three things, Lord willing. It's a glory for God to hide things. It's an honor for man to seek things. And with some things, there's only God can find them out. So first of all, it's a glory of God for Him to conceal. That's what it says in verse 2. It's the glory of God to conceal a thing. Now these are the Proverbs of Solomon. These are a collection of Proverbs that Solomon wrote in his lifetime. But whether they were written down and just not published, or whether they were oral Proverbs that the men of Hezekiah wrote down, Solomon wrote thousands of Proverbs that just don't exist. They served his time and his generation, as one man said, and they were forgotten. But these were Proverbs that the prophets collected and God preserved, because they were the inspired Word of God. So this is not just Solomon's ideas or thoughts, but this is an inspired Word. And even after Solomon's time, these Proverbs will not be forgotten. God's Word won't be lost. It won't be cast away in time and history. God's Word will stand. It endures forever. And even if Solomon didn't write it down, God raised up these prophets of Hezekiah, these men of another kingdom, another time, to preserve and write down and collect His Word. So this is a proverb from God. And God says, it is the, His glory to conceal a thing. See, that's an obstacle. It compares with the honor of the king to search it out. So the king is searching things out, and the glory of God to conceal. Why? Because God doesn't need to search things out. Why? Because He knows everything. William Arnott said there's no progress in God's knowledge because there is no imperfection. There's no progress with God learning. He doesn't graduate from one class to the next class. There's no area of God's knowledge that He's got holes in. There's no place in His wisdom that He's lacking in. There are things in the Bible that I have more familiarity with than other things. I don't think anybody knows everything there is to know about the Bible and knows equally as much in every category as anybody else. There are areas where I might be lacking, in areas where I don't know as much as I would like to know, and so forth. And as you grow, you look for your weak spots and you try to grow in those areas. Well, there's no progress in God's knowledge. He knows all things. God's understanding is perfect because He is perfect. That He knows everything there is to know. Now, a child starts off learning his colors. They learn their ABCs. They'll learn their numbers. And they'll have to memorize them and learn those things. And that's the building blocks. You know, if you go through all through school and you go to college and you get a degree in computer science, you know what you're going to be dealing with? You're going to be dealing with numbers. Now, it's a lot more complex, a lot more complicated, but they're still numbers. They're not different numbers. They might be bigger. You might be doing more things with them. But they're still numbers, right? You just progress from the simplest understanding to the very complex understanding. You progress in your knowledge. No website designer will deal with letters and numbers and colors. Certainly more basic than a child in preschool, but it's still the same colors, numbers, and letters, and so forth. There's a progression. There's growth. But, it's just a continued step after the first step. Right? You take the first step, you're taking that as a progress. Well, God doesn't progress in His knowledge because He knows all things. He's got complete and perfect knowledge of everything. There's not one thing in the universe that God doesn't know. There's not one thing in all time and space and history that escapes the mind of God. God knows what you're thinking right now. God knows what you thought yesterday. God knows what you thought and have forgot about since. God knows everything. God knows what you're going to do tomorrow. He knows what the nations are going to do. He knows what the nations have in mind. He knows what they're planning and won't be able to carry out. God knows everything. He knows the end from the very beginning. So, God's knowledge, it's more than just foreknowledge. It's not like God can tell the future. But God has ordained. He's beyond time. So, He knows what's going to happen, for He has ordained it to happen. And it's not that He's waiting for it to happen in time, because He's beyond time. So it's more than just knowing. There's a perfect and complete knowledge where He has ordained the end from the beginning. It's a complete and perfect understanding. So, you might get a job and it's very difficult maybe the first week that you have a job because you're trying to learn everything. And it's all new to you, and you're trying to gain more knowledge in what you're supposed to do. And I always thought that was the worst part of any job, was the first week or two, because you're just trying to learn where to go and what to do and how to do the job and how they want you to do the job. Well, after a couple months, it might get boring. That job that you took all your powers of concentration to do, well, it might get boring after a while because you've done it so many times. You progress and you're learning. And then maybe the boss says, all right, we're going to give you a promotion. We're going to send you to someplace else. And you're going to have some more responsibilities. Well, you're gaining knowledge and you're growing and that kind of thing. Well, you have to learn something else. And you add that to your arsenal of skills and now you've got some more skills that you can do. You couldn't do it before, but now you can. So you're adding to that. With God, there's no area where He can progress. There's no place where He's lacking. There's no place where God, there's no holes in God's knowledge or His power or His wisdom. There's no land that's unseen for God. There's no depth that's unknown. There's no theories with God, but perfect knowledge. There's places on this earth that we live that man has never seen. There's depths of the ocean where we've never gone. There are creatures. I saw this yesterday that for a long time, you know, the giant squid that they wrote about, 20,000 leagues under the sea. Well, that was just a myth or a fairy tale. Where those never did exist. And scientists would laugh at the comic books and the stories and the myths of years gone by, because those things didn't exist until not too long ago, where they found one. They caught one. I think it was about 20 or 30 years ago they caught one. Well, they didn't exist. There was no proof of it, no evidence. Well, they were down there. We just never saw one before. We hadn't seen one in a long time. So there's things in this world, in this earth, that we don't know about. I read a book one time about unexpected events. And the book starts off with scientists saying that there was no such thing as a black swan. They said it was impossible. It was an impossibility for there to be a black swan. And there were books and articles written about how swans have to be white. That you never have a black swan. And then they captured one. Somebody found a black swan. And then they started writing books on how black swans exist and how there can be black swans and what has to happen in order for a swan to come out and be black. Well, they were on this earth. And the experts who said they knew all about these birds didn't know that these things existed. So we think that we know things. But there are things that we don't even know we don't know. So when I started this new job, I'd been on about a week, and the guy said, "Well, you have any questions?" I said, "No, because I don't know enough to have any questions yet." That there's things, I said, "I know there's tons of stuff I don't know, but I don't know enough to know what I don't know." Right? That's how big a hole I had in my knowledge of what I was doing. That I had to grow my knowledge just to understand the questions to ask. Well, there's nothing like that with God. He's perfect in His knowledge. God in His glory doesn't reveal everything about Himself. It says the glory of God is to conceal a thing. It's God's glory not to reveal everything. God in His mercy has revealed a whole lot of things to us about Him. There's enough in this Bible that we could search all the days of our life and we'll never learn all there is to know about God. But that's not all there is to know about God. Oh, there are depths and things concerning God that man has not even considered to ponder. But what we have is what God has chosen to give us. Even about His sovereignty and about His holiness, about His love and about His mercy, we don't even know all things about that. That God has chosen to reveal to us things about His attributes that He wanted us to glory in and wanted us to worship Him in. But He has not revealed everything to us. God is infinite. So if God is eternal, which He is, and God is infinite, He's never ending. He's omnipresent. He's spirit. It means He's everywhere at all times. There's no place in the universe where God is not. How could He reveal everything about Himself to our finite minds? Our little brains would explode if we had everything about God revealed to us. We just couldn't handle it. There's so much. He's infinite. He never ends. His glory never ends. And His power and His majesty never ends. So it is the glory of God to say, to conceal Himself in a manner of speaking. He has revealed Himself, but not all of Himself. How could you make known infinity to a finite mind? So it is God's glory that He hasn't even shown us everything about Himself. Zophar was right in the book of Job, chapter 11, verse 7 and 8. He says, "Can thou searchest, or canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? It is as high as the heaven. What canst thou? Deeper than hell. What canst thou?" So he said, you can't. Now, he wasn't right on a lot of things, Zophar wasn't, but he was right about this. You can't find out the Almighty in its perfection. You can't find out everything there is to know about God, because you can only know what He has revealed to us. So it is the glory of God to conceal. So there's so much of God that we won't maybe ever know. In the book of Romans, chapter number 11, in verse 33, Paul sort of breaks into a psalm here, a word of praise. He says, "Oh, the depth, the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor? Or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen." Oh, the depths of the riches of God's wisdom and His knowledge. God's wisdom is so deep we can't even get to the bottom of it, let alone drink it all in and know it. Think how deep the wisdom of God is. Now, Paul had just completed those long chapters of the sovereignty of God in salvation, the sovereignty of God in election and reprobation, the plan of God with Israel and the Gentiles, and how God is using both and through time and history to bring the ultimate glory into Himself. And He gets to the end of that, and He's just overwhelmed with the depth of God's wisdom and knowledge. Just the plan of salvation, the wisdom of the cross, the wisdom of redemption and the knowledge, just to plan that out. You know, it's hard for us just to think about it and study it and get a full comprehension of how God had ordained this eternal covenant of redemption all through history. And how the history of the children of Israel and the types and the shadows and the pictures and the prophecies and these songs all weaving together and working together to point to Christ, and Christ fulfilling all those things. And even continue on through the church and the chastisement of Israel for rejecting their king, and then the ultimate restoration of Israel in the last days. What wisdom there is. And we just can't even get to the bottom of that one aspect of redemption. God's judgments are so wise, we can never even search them all out. All of God's plans and His judgments. Things happen to us in our lives and we can't explain them. Why do things happen to us? Well, we don't know. Well, I'm with myself all day long, and I know what I'm thinking, and I know what happens to me, right? I know as much about myself as anybody can know. And yet I don't know why things happen to me. I don't know why things happen in my life. I can't even know all the judgments that happen to me, let alone know all the judgments of all time, all God's choices and decisions, we might say, His will for every human being who has ever lived through the history of the world, and how they all weave together for God's glory. If you could read your family tree and go back a couple generations and think about, you know, why did your family come to this country instead of staying in the old country? Well, somebody had to make a decision that they were going to leave. Well, why did they come? Well, I don't know why my family came over, but they did. And why they ended up in Kentucky. And why they stayed in Kentucky for 200 and some years. I don't know why. But God had ordained that all those things come to pass. Every judgment, every decision was ordained of God. Those are all things that We can't even search out in our own family tree how unsearchable are His judgments. His ways past finding out. God's ways are beyond our ability to track them down. We could spend all of our days tracking down God's ways and His providences, and they're just beyond our finding out. I read that one of the best things for the human brain is to read and to think and to learn. And they said as you get older, one of the best things that you can do is think about things and concentrate and try to learn new things. Whether it's puzzles or games or reading or studying or something, they said it's one of the best things that you can do because it engages your mind and keeps your mind sharp. Well, not only is it good for you to do physically, it's a glorious thing to search out the things of God. And there's something you can search out and you'll never come to the end of it. It's a lot better than a puzzle because you can finish a puzzle, but you can never get to the end of searching out the things of God. His ways are past finding out. You can spend all your days learning something new, going down a new path, going down a new line of thought, studying some new aspect of a doctrine of Christ. You might pick that diamond of a doctrine up and examine it from all angles. It's just like a prism or something. You hold it up to the light, and if you change it, the light shifts, and you see something different from a different angle. Well, the doctrines of God are like that. We don't know everything there is to know about election. We don't know everything there is to know about particular redemption. We might know a whole lot, but there's certainly depths to God's wisdom that we haven't looked at from different angles to see the glory and His beauty. You can think and read and study and learn and meditate. There's no ending to the learning of God. There's no end to that path. There's always more you can dig into and investigate. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17, it says this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you may be rooted and grounded in love. You may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of all the fullness of God. So there's the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, to know a love that's past knowledge, to be filled with the fullness of God. That infinity, that's a never-ending depth and a never-ending height. That's a measurement that's beyond comprehension, full of the love of Christ. And if you have some immeasurable area beyond our comprehension of length and width and depth, filled with the love of God, all able to search out. That is what we have in God's revelation to us. There's never a never-ending supply of knowledge that we can have of God. But it's the glory of the Lord to conceal a thing. In Deuteronomy 29:29, it says this, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. There are some things that we just don't know about God. There's some things we wonder about God and we don't know. And we can't know. We might wonder about them. We might have questions about them. But the secret things belong unto God. They don't belong unto us. It's okay to say, if somebody asks you a question and you say, I don't know. That was hard for me to figure out for a while. Somebody asked me a question about the Bible and I would have to, I thought I had to have an answer for everything. Well, we don't have answers for everything. If someone asks a question that's a secret thing with God, the answer is, I don't know. No one knows because God hasn't told us. I don't know is a perfectly fine answer. If God hasn't revealed it to us. You can get yourself in a world of trouble venturing into the secret things that you don't know anything about. We have enough in the Bible that's hard for us to understand that we don't need to go try to tread where we have no business going. If we speak about God and make things up about God that aren't in the Scripture, then we've just made an idol. So God's Word tells us the secret things are His. But I left off the last half of that verse. The secret things belong unto the Lord, our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So that brings us to the second point. Yes, it's a glory for God to conceal a thing. But the honor of kings is to search out a matter. Those things which are revealed belong to us. So those things that which are revealed in the Bible, those things which God has shown us and taken the cover off of and unveiled, they belong to us. And not only do we have a right to these things, it is the glory of man to search them out. It is a worthy task. You're doing a kingly work when you study your Bible. It's the honor of kings to search out a matter. That's what makes the king honorable, as what Solomon said here. So you're doing the work of kings to search a matter out, to investigate, and to dig, and to learn, and to search out the truth. That's a glorious work. That's an honorable work. That's a work of great dignity, to take your Bible and to sit down and to study something out. Don't think that Bible study is bland or boring, or you could do better things. You've got better things to do. Well, you're doing a kingly work. You're walking in the paths of the great minds of all history when you sit down and study your Bible. There's no higher book, there's no higher attainment for a human being to endeavor in than to search out the things of God. People like to play golf, or they like to play tennis, or they like to play all these different hobbies, and they have much pride in their skills and their abilities to do so. But there's no greater dignified, honorable task that we can do than to study the Word of God. It's an honor to investigate and search out the truth. The man will search things too high for him and search things too low. And we still can't figure things out in this universe. Isn't it amazing how we can get the biggest telescope, most powerful telescope in the world, and get them on the biggest satellites and send them off into space? And you've got the Hubble telescope, who knows how far away, taking pictures as far as humanly possible to take pictures. And you have these images of space that no man had ever seen before. Just scratching the surface. Scratching the surface. As far as we can see, new things, new stars, new galaxies that we had never known or discovered before. As high as the heavens, there's so much more that man could see. We search far, and we search near. Think of how deep we can search within a single drop of blood. And how far, just within the last couple decades, how far medical science has progressed to where we can go so deep into a single cell, a single drop of blood. Now, as far as we can search out into space, and as tiny as we can look even within, there's still things that we can know about creation. Right? We can get the biggest telescope to see out and the biggest microscope to see within. And whether looking small or looking big, there's still things that we just don't know about the world that we live in. And that's an honorable thing to investigate God's creation. I think that's a good thing to investigate the world that we live in. To know about the place that we live, to be curious about God's creation. And you can take that too far and make it an idol. You can take it and dishonor God. Well, many people do. But I think it's a glory to God to learn about His creation and to be curious about the world that God made and gave to us. I think it's an honor to search for God's glory in history, in mathematics, or archaeology, or the written word, to investigate the world that we live in. I'm not one to say that the only thing you ought to do is study is the Bible. I think you can honor and glorify God by studying His creation. And the more you know about God and His creation, the more you can glorify Him. You look at Solomon's writings and what he writes about. And Solomon knew about trees. He knew about plants. He knew about the weather cycles. He knew about animals and health and medicine. He knew all kinds of things. And you know what he did? He glorified God in his knowledge. He glorified the Lord by knowing about God's creation. You just read through the Proverbs and see how many different things that he talked about. I just happened to look down in verse 23. Proverbs 25:23. The north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. Solomon knew about the weather patterns. And he knew what a north wind would do to a storm coming in. And you know what he did? He didn't talk about Mother Nature. He said, you know what? That's sort of like an angry countenance and a backbiting tongue. What that reminds me of. You see how knowing things about God's creation can lead us to glorify the Lord? Well, it's a glory. It's a glory for man to search things out. Search out the matter of the truth. Not just the Bible, not just searching out the truth about creation, but to search out this truth. That means not to believe the first thing that you hear. Not to swallow what any one man says. That's a trap for the king. Not to investigate a matter. Well, if somebody comes and tells him this other nation's plotting against you, and he believes the first report that he heard, well, that's not glory for him, because what if that guy gave a false report? No, we have to search out a matter. Not to believe the first thing that somebody tells us, but to investigate and find out, well, maybe that person's lying. Maybe they were mistaken. Maybe there's more to the story. Don't take one person's opinion and just adopt it without thinking about it. Talk show hosts, TV producers, their whole job in life is to make you get through the next commercial to the next segment. You got whole teams of people on TV, especially on the news, and their whole job is to get you to sit through that next set of commercials and come back. And they're so skilled at doing that and getting you to come back. Well, you know, they're very crafty in getting you to want to come back. Well, don't take that one person's word for it, especially when their whole task is to get you to keep tuning in. Search it out. It's an honorable thing to search out a matter. Make sure that you're not being led by one person's opinion. Search it out to see if it's true. Search out the matter if someone accuses another. It's an honor for you to search that out. Those things revealed belong to us. The Bible is ours to know. Now this is my Bible. My mom bought me this Bible. It belongs to me. This paper. This ink. But you know what? This is the words belong to me. It's not just the physical Bible that belongs to me. It's the words in it. So I've got a Bible app on my phone. That, you know, those promises in that Bible app are just as sure as this Bible is. It's the words that belong to me is what the Bible says. It's mine. And I can dig and search and believe and hold because God has given it to me for that very purpose. That's the purpose of the Bible, is to read it and to know it. If we didn't already know that, that's pretty obvious, but it's the truth, isn't it? The Bible is ours to know, to read and to learn it. That's the sad thing about Catholicism and that they might not say, they might not tell you not to read it. They might tell you to read it, but they tell you that you can't really know what it is unless the church tells you what it is. That's not what this verse says. It doesn't say those things which are revealed belong to the church and to the priests and to the preachers. No, they belong to you. They're not just mine. They're yours. And you have just as much of an imperative to know and to study them as I do. Because they belong to you. Since God has revealed it, He's taken the cover off, that means we can dig in there and look around. It's ours to explore. It's about Him. It's about His attributes and His power and His will and His holiness. It's about ourselves. It's about our salvation, about our life, about our soul. It's about sin and goodness, what is holy, what's an abomination, things to come, things unseen. It's all there for us to explore and to investigate and to search it out. Verse 3 says, heaven for height and the earth for depth, and the heart of the king is unsearchable. This brings us to our conclusion here that Solomon was a wise man beyond all the wisdom of men. And Solomon made judgments based upon the knowledge that he had. But none of his subjects could understand and search out the depth of his heart. And not just Solomon, but I think all good and honorable kings and even good and honorable leaders. There's a depth to them that just people don't understand. You know, I like to complain about the presidents and politicians and so forth, but you know, if they called me tomorrow and told me to come to the White House, I tell you what, I'd be weighing over my head, right? But there's a lot that they know and there's a lot that they do that we just don't have any idea. We don't know what they know. We don't have the intelligence that they have. I mean, like the military intelligence, the intelligence from other nations, not the literal intelligence, but you know, we don't have spies giving us briefings and that sort of thing. We don't have generals telling us what things are happening on the ground. They have secrets that we don't know about. Kings and politicians and governments have power to affect lives of untold millions of generations. And there's just things that we don't know about. I've got a book that's sitting on my desk right now called The Reagan I Knew. And it's a book about a man who knew Ronald Reagan. It's just saying, you know the public person, but I knew the man personally, and this is what I knew about him. And it was talking about, you know, remember the nuclear scare and nuclear war with the Soviet Union and all that. And somebody asked him, is he really willing to shoot nuclear weapons towards the Soviet Union? And the people closest to him, some of them just didn't know what he thought about it. They said that he was uncomfortable discussing certain things, certain scenarios, and even national security experts were totally unsure of exactly what he thought. But they said that he had the intuition that was superior than all those people who were talking to him about it. So my point is that everybody had opinions about President Reagan. They had opinions what to do about the Soviet Union and nuclear weapons. He had different advisors telling him different things. But no one, and especially the Russians, but no one knew the heart of Reagan, whether he would really shoot those missiles off or not. And that was kind of the point. He didn't want anybody to know what he really thought about it, because that made it more scary. You know, if he came out and said, well, I'd never shoot a weapon, well then why would they fear him? Well, they feared him because they didn't know. So I think that's what this is talking about, that the heart of the king is unsearchable. The heart of the leader is unsearchable in that regard, because he has more information and we just don't know what he's thinking. Alright? So what can we take from that? Well, we don't know what other people are thinking. Sometimes people do bad things and are mean and are hurtful just because they're mean and hurtful people. But sometimes they are lonely, trying to get attention. Sometimes they're depressed and don't know how to react. We don't know what's going in the heart of somebody. We don't know why people do what they do. It's not just the heart of a king that's unsearchable, but it's just really the heart of anybody that's unsearchable. Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, it says in Proverbs 25. The man of understanding will draw it out. How you going to get that deep counsel of a man's heart? We've got to draw it out, just like you draw water out of the well. That's the only way, is if it comes out. We wish we could unlock the depths of brokenhearted loved ones, but unless they open up, you just can't know. It has to be revealed. We often can't even search our own hearts. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" You lie to yourself and you deceive yourself. You trick yourself to think that you're doing the right thing for the right reason. We don't even know our own hearts. But it's God that searches the heart. God searches all hearts and understands all the imagination in our thoughts. That's what David told Solomon. God's the one that searches the hearts. The heart is unsearchable. Even I can't even search out my own heart and know it truthfully, because I'll lie to myself. But God is the one who searches the hearts. God knows the hearts, and God reveals the hearts. And God reveals His heart in the revelation of His Word. We can't know God's heart unless He tells us in 1 Corinthians 2, tells us that He has done that. Verse 11, 1 Corinthians 2 says, "For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. And we have received that Spirit of God, that we might know the things freely given to us." But God's opened up. So here's the point. We can't know Solomon's heart. We can't know the king's heart, because there's so much there. And if we can't know the king's heart, and we can't know our own heart, how are we going to know God's heart? How are we going to know God's will? Unless He tells us. And He did tell us in His Word. God revealed His heart about many things, His will about a whole lot of things. And we have it right here. He told us. Right there in His Word, He told us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, read that chapter later. And Paul is saying that God has revealed to us His Word and His will and His heart and His plan. And He told it to you. And it's opened up. And He's given you His Spirit to teach you and to guide you and to help you understand. So God is speaking to you in these words about Himself. It's been revealed. We have access not to the King, but to the King of Kings. We have access to His inner chamber. We have access to speak to Him and Him to us, and to know His heart and His will. So do the work of a king. Do the work of royalty tonight and every day. Search out the glories of the Bible. May Lord add blessings to His Word tonight.